This story was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. If you have a retirement account, an IRA, and it's not in Bitcoin, maybe think about rolling it over to an Unchained IRA. Bitcoin's the best money. You want your long-term retirement savings in the best money. Unchained makes that possible. Go to unchained.com/RHR. Check out their calculator. Set up a call with their signature team. Roll that IRA over into Bitcoin and sleep peacefully. Unchained.com/RHR. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. If you have friends, family members who are newbies, they still have their Bitcoin in the exchange, help them take the first step off the exchange. BitKey makes it very easy. It's a hardware device that has a multi-sig. You have the hardware device has a key. Your mobile phone app has a key. And Block has a key in the cloud. They've designed this with trade-offs to make it very hard to lose Bitcoin. Easy to use, hard to lose. Go to bitkey.world. Use the code RHR or RHR20 at checkout to get a discount. Not sure exactly which one it is yet. Try both. Go check it out. bitkey.world. Try RHR or RHR20. This rip is also brought to you by CoinKite. CoinKite builds the best Bitcoin hardware in the world. If you're an individual, a business, you're looking to secure your Bitcoin with single sig, multi-sig, check out the suite of cold cards, the MK4, the Q. They're the most secure. They've got two secure elements. You can create your private public key pairs offline, and the device just keeps getting better. I love the Q. I use the Q. It's a great device. Use the code RHR for 5% off at checkout. Go to coinkite.com. Check out all their products, not just the MK4 and the Q. Check out the Block Clock, Sats Guard, Tap Signer. Check it all. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
2 days late, but we're getting it in. Saturday afternoon. Rip. It's on me this week, freaks. It's actually on American Airlines. I was on my flight back to Austin yesterday morning. We were going to record yesterday afternoon, but we got on the tarmac, sat there for an hour, had to go back to the gate, switch planes, and at that point, was not going to get home in time to tuck the kids in for bed and record a rip, so we had to push it today.
There were a lot of haters out there that didn't think we were going to rip this week.
What do you think? We're scared of a little. It's not officially a dump yet, freaks. Not officially a dump, but a little price dip. You scared?
Oh, it's not a dump. You're not declaring it a dump.
A dump to 85,196. I don't think so.
Well, no. Now it's 85 because you manufactured delays. We were originally supposed to go live at like 79.
Not a dump.
So what is that? What percentage down was that?
It depends on 108.
Are we going to measure from the all-time high 108 to 79?
That might be a little, that might be like close to a dump. That's like 23, 24%. Not quite there, I believe.
Didn't you say?
I said 25%. Then I said 25%.
You said there we would never have a dump over 20% again, I think.
No,
29 divided by 108 is 27%, 26.8%.
All right, it's officially a dump. I was wrong.
Is the super cycle still in play?
Oh, definitely. Definitely still in play.
Did you Absolutely. See what I named this episode?
No. What'd you name it?
Stay humble, stack sats.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
I was I was going to make fun of Supercycle, but I thought it was time for some great advice.
It is great advice. I hope you were. I'm a stack in the dip. I had some auto buys trigger.
I have no dollars. There was no dip stacking.
Yeah. But for anybody out there who's new to Bitcoin, maybe you came in post-Trump election when the price was running up above 100,000, stayed there for quite a while, and you're looking at the price chart now, holy crap, we're down 28, 29%. What is happening? What did I do? Here's some context for you. This is the life of Bitcoin. Matthew Siegel, I believe he's with Bitwise, or where's he with?
No, isn't this the dude who said Jack Dorsey was Satoshi?
No, it's not him. I think they may work for the same firm.
I think it was him.
I don't think it was him. It was some other dude.
He works at VanEck. He's the head of research at VanEck. No, same it was firm. This dude. This is the dude who wrote the 25-page.
No, this wasn't him. It was a Dot East that wrote the research page.
No, he also wrote one. This guy wrote the big one.
Well, sorry.
He's the head of research at VanEck, right?
Yeah. Well, external to the Jack Dorsey theory.
This is good stats.
This is good stats. And so what we're looking at
is... This is why we stay humble and stack sats.
Yes. Corrections through Bitcoin bull cycles in 2017. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 above 25%, with the largest being 41%. There were 2 41% drawbacks during that bull run. And last time, 2021... We ran up to 69K. There was 6 larger than 15%, with the largest being 55% on the way up. This is what it does. You run up, you teleport to a certain level, you hover there for a little bit, you correct back, let new buyers come in and really lead price discovery at lower levels, and then you start going back up. Not financial advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results, but this seems familiar to me. Somebody's been around for 12 years.
Definitely familiar. I would say so far, cycle-wise, this is the worst cycle we've ever had in terms of price performance, purchasing power performance. And I would say that there was a bunch of talking heads that said this time was different. The dumps were behind us.
I mean, this time
anyway,
is different.
This is why we stay humble and stack sats. Because if you try and trade, the overwhelming majority of people are going to get wrecked. Some people will be successful traders, but the overwhelming majority will not, and will be better off just working hard, focusing on being productive, building a family, and saving in Bitcoin. A la stay humble, stack sats. While you brought up Matthew Siegel, it actually reminded me, Lop posted an amazing takedown of this guy's theory. Huge shout out to Lop. We'll include the link in the show notes. So if you do have an inkling that you think you might be correct that Jack is Satoshi and you don't really like my vibes response, Lop did like the straight autist response, going like tweet by tweet of Jack's life and comparing it to public Satoshi posts. I think he makes a very credible counter argument to Jack being Satoshi. And anyone who thinks that's the case should probably go read that and see how many glaring holes there are in that theory. But I will just reiterate one more time that I just don't think it's the fascination that people have with the identity of Satoshi is something that will probably continue for a long, long time. But I don't think it's a very productive endeavor. And I hope we never actually figure out who Satoshi is. And Satoshi did not want to be discovered. And Satoshi designed Bitcoin in a way that he is irrelevant. He has no control over the project. Nobody does. And that's the beauty of it.
What was the strongest counterpoint in Lop's piece, in your point, in your perspective?
It's just like, he said the same thing as me, right? Which is like, the guy wrote 25 pages basically saying that Jack was in cypherpunk circles and on the mailing list and lived in California. which is like the most, you know, you could, there's about 100 people, 100, 200 people that you can use that heuristic on. And so she probably is one of them. But the crazy thing about Lop's post is like he literally just goes tweet by tweet, because Jack is such an outwardly social person, especially when he was launching Twitter, that like he chronicled his life in public posts. So it's like, you know, like Jack, it's like beautifully autistic. He's like, on December 9th, 2009, Jack met the mayor of Paris, and then he links the tweet and he goes, 18 minutes later, Satoshi posted to Bitcoin Talk. On February 26th, 2010, Jack was attending a Long Square meeting. Although we don't know exactly when this meeting began, it ended by 10 p.m. Eastern time. Meanwhile, Satoshi had made two forum posts at 6:17 and 6:48 Eastern time. Then he links the post. On May 20th, 2010, Jack was driving to dinner with family. 10 minutes later, Satoshi posted Bitcoin Talk. On May 26, 2010, Jack met with the Newark mayor, Cory Booker. The meeting was nicely time-boxed by before and after tweets. During this meeting, Satoshi made two posts of Bitcoin Talk and was working on creating a translation template he attached to one of the posts. So it just goes on and on and on. Really Lop at his finest. So shout out to Lop for putting it all together.
Jameson. Doing Satoshi's work there. Maybe Jameson's. I'm kidding. I'm
yeah, not literally. On him. And then huge shout out to Paulie, who zapped 21,000 sats, Mav21, who zapped 21,000 sats, and Anon zapped 10,000 sats. Appreciate you freaks in the live ride or die chat at rhr.tv/stream.
That's what I'm trying to find it. It's not popping up on, it's not popping on Fountain right now live. But I don't have my laptop, so I haven't been able to follow along with the live stream. I've seen the wake
up. I'm watching it. You're good.
Block party. Let's hop to Clark's dashboard. Get a little update on the state of Bitcoin. Current price is 85,640 cuckbucks. Sats are on sale. One cuckbuck's going to get you 1,168 sats. We are sitting at a $1.7 trillion market cap. We're at block height 885,900. Nice even block height there. 100 blocks away from block height 886,000. It'll happen maybe early in the morning, central time tomorrow. We are looking at a difficulty adjustment coming in 1,140 blocks, which means we had one between last week and this week, I believe. It was a negative 3.2% difficulty adjustment. Next difficulty adjustment looks like it's going to be an upward one at 2.2%. There are currently only 8,657 transactions in Clark's mempool. Minimum fee rate, one sat per byte. And very similar on mempool.space, 8,690 transactions, two sats per V-byte across the board if you're looking to transact right now. Bitcoin season two, driving a lot of volume here.
Who would have thought it was a flash in the pan?
Yeah. That was it was at POMS, Bitcoin Investor Week. A lot of L2 talk. A lot of what are your thoughts on Stax? What L2 are you interested in?
And I can't believe Stax still exists.
They're out there.
Was probably one of the worst parts about deleting my ex, because I had so many anti-Stax threads. I actually read that fucking white paper just to argue with their trolls.
You were an anti-Stax influencer for a while there.
Nah. Lived rent-free. Well, I guess I paid rent. I had to read three-hour white paper, try and understand how it worked. Wow, we got Omni A Collective. Nope, wrong person. We got Marin zapped 78,000 sats saying sup. What's up,
Marin? Shout out to you, Marin. Is that Marin, the astrologist TA expert?
No.
Okay.
Different Marin.
Want to give this a shout out.
Ride or die freak.
Want to give a shout out to a ride or die freak I met at PubKey. You know who you are. She was, we had she and her boyfriend watch religiously. They may be watching right now. Don't want to dox you on there. It was great to meet you. A lot of freaks. Pub Key. The vibes are high there all week. They've got a great thing going. It's a dangerous. It's dangerous that Pub Key exists, particularly in New York, because you go there for meetings and you're like, I've got nothing to do tonight. I'll stop by Pub Key to see if there's any Bitcoiners there. And inevitably, there is a large group of Bitcoiners, and you get sucked into a black hole that is that bar and wind up talking about Miniscript to like 1:30 in the morning with Rob Hamilton. That happened one night to me.
Oh, yeah. Rob told me about that. He's like, that's why Marty missed RHR.
It's not why. Good events, though. They think the suits are paying attention. There was a lot of suits at this event.
Were they panicking with the dump?
No, I don't think so. I think there was enough hardened, war-torn Bitcoiners in the area to be like, don't worry, this has happened before. This is to be expected.
Yeah, Weirdo Robot commented in the live chat that, yeah, we dumped so hard I'm drinking Costco beer. It's actually pretty good, the Kirkland Lager. Never keeps had me it. Light on my toes.
Never had it. I'm drinking Salt of the Earth electrolytes, pink lemonade.
Dude, I found this podcast, Acquired. Have you listened to this podcast?
Yeah, I found this, but it's like one of the most popular tech podcasts.
I know.
It's a very good podcast.
Well, I will say specifically Beefsteak Josh recommended it to me. But yeah, obviously it's one of, but I've listened to like a shit ton of their episodes over the last like 3 weeks.
Which one's your favorite? I like Walmart.
Have you listened to the Costco?
Oh yeah, one? Costco. They literally design the whole layout to get you to the back of the store.
I was already a diehard Costco person, but now I'm just forever. Like it just confirmed my biases so much. And I thought the Meta one was great. The Microsoft one was fascinating.
Amazon's really good.
I haven't listened to the Amazon one yet. They're very long. I mean, like the Microsoft one was 8 hours. Meta was like 6.5 hours.
Shout out to those guys. I mean, they're Silicon Valley tech people, yeah. Venture people. They're very much that archetype, but they do incredible research. And if you're interested in learning how a lot of the...
It's a good lesson.
Yeah, it's a great lesson.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to agree with their politics or their view of the world to find value in it. They do a lot of research.
Yeah. No, I wasn't trying to comment on there.
They did an FTX episode. Did you listen to that one?
Yeah.
I didn't listen to it yet, but I'm assuming it was like a glowingly positive FTX one. So
no, I think if I recall correctly, it was a retrospective on how everybody got.
No, it must not be because in the description it says we left this up for transparency's sake, but obviously FTX blew up after we released this episode.
Maybe I didn't listen.
They have a disclaimer paragraph on the top.
Yeah, shout out to Acquired, very good podcast. But we have our own podcast. We have a list of topics that we have to get to, starting with the IMF board approving a $1.4 billion loan to El Salvador with further Bitcoin restrictions. International Monetary Fund's executive board approved a $1.4 billion loan for El Salvador with the condition that the country will further restrict the government's Bitcoin-related economic activities, including transactions and purchases of Bitcoin, which is interesting because it seems like they're still buying Bitcoin.
Yeah, I didn't understand that part.
Maybe Bukele and Kerr are just like, yeah, we're going to tell you that we'll stop buying.
Or maybe they're about to stop. But anyway, the IMF released a blog post specifically saying that they have to stop. So we'll see what happens.
President Bukele, Tether, like $1.4 billion loan. Maybe tell the IMF to screw off and go get it from the private market. Who knows? Maybe you'll be able to get it. There's some Bitcoiners out there. They're flush with cash. Maybe some stable coins. And Bitcoin. Just a thought. It would be awesome if they just took the $1.4 billion, kept buying Bitcoin, let it ride, and then restructured the debt with them and said, all right, screw off. Why does the IMF have this much control? Why do people keep going back to them? I feel like they should be reputationally damaged, like USAID is, and they should be blackballed
at the international level. USAID took, 70 years for that to happen? It just happened. It happened, a couple months ago. So maybe there's a non-zero chance that the IMF gets completely and utterly demolished in the next 2 or 3 years, which is the highest chance we've ever had.
Pretty sure the IMF's been around longer than USAID. USAID was JFK. I'm pretty sure IMF, I believe, was literally created post-World War II simply to finance the rebuilding of Europe, if I recall correctly. That was its raison d'etre. And of course, as we know, any government policy that is meant to be temporary is never temporary. Unless you get somebody coming in and trying to gut the government, like Donald Trump and Elon.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I still think there's just to bring it back, I think there's a non-zero chance that's exactly what Bukele's doing, is he is taking cheap money where he can get it and is going to continue stacking Bitcoin and trying to position the country appropriately. I don't pretend to have a concrete read here, but I can see how a lot of Bitcoiners that have moved there and had very high hopes can be very frustrated right now and concerned.
Same. Next up on the list, European states continue their race for encryption backdoors. The Europoors are really, really dead set on ushering their people into a digital panopticon and destroying their economies. So European policymakers continue to push forward various proposals and regulations that would severely compromise the privacy and security of European citizens. In France, you have a proposed narco traffic law amendment, which will require encrypted communication services to create backdoors for law enforcement access within 72 hours. Noncompliance could lead to fines of 1.5 million euros for individuals and 2% of global turnover for companies. In Sweden, the government is pushing for encrypted messaging apps like Signal to implement similar end-to-end encrypted backdoors, which could become law as soon as March 2026. Signal has threatened to leave the country if the proposal becomes law, and the UK government demanded that Apple create a backdoor for law enforcement to access all of its users' encrypted cloud data. In response, Apple withdrew its most secure cloud storage service from Britain, as it uses end-to-end encryption that prevents even Apple from accessing the data. And the UK already passed its online safety bill in 2023. So it's an absolute shit show over there. It's not it. The latest half-good proposal by the Polish Council presidency wants to make chat control voluntary rather than compulsory. Yet 16 out of 27 EU states led by Spain still reject it, using adramatic language. Europe, man. Feel bad for all Euro listeners out there.
Well, look, I mean, twofold, right? This is why open source software and open protocols are so important, because they can be used without permission and there's no leader that's in control that can be pressured and jailed and fined, as we see is the case with something like Apple, right? Where their business gets pressured into removing their end-to-end encryption in the UK. And then I think the second piece is, you know, one of the lessons I've talked to Adam Back about this, from the early days of his experience during the early days of the cypherpunk movement. And it's always been very controversial opinion. even among them back in the day. But this idea of a two-pronged fight, you fight it with tools that empower individuals, you help educate users so that they can actually use those tools, and you try and get broad usage among them. But also at the same time, you have to be fighting legal ballot battles and playing politics. And you can see the divide, right, in America today versus Europe today. It's a very obvious divide. And part of the reason why I wanted to highlight the story is I think it's probably relatively easy for American Bitcoiners to be complacent right now, more so than ever before. But right across the pond, we see basically all-out war against privacy and freedom on the internet. So first of all, it's important for us to help out our fellow ride or dies across the pond. But second of all, it's important to just be aware of these things as they're unfolding. Now, on that Apple news, by the way, some Apple users might not even be aware of this. That end-to-end encrypted backup on iCloud is an opt-in feature. So if you are using iCloud, you don't get that by default. You have to go and enable it. And then they basically give you like a seed backup that everything's encrypted with, that you need to access your data, because they theoretically do not have the capability of accessing for you if you lose your phone or something like that. Obviously, all of that's closed source and there's no way for us to verify it. But I will say that credit where credit's due, Apple does deserve a lot of credit on how they built out that product, that encrypted iCloud product, especially as one of the most valuable companies in the world, to do it. And a lot of the reason for that was, I don't know if you remember back in the day, the
FBI pressuring them.
No, the fappening. Yeah, the fappening. Yeah, when all the celebrities' nude photos got leaked, and you can't have that happening.
You can't have the fappening happening. When was that? It had to be like 2017, 2018.
I think it was earlier. I don't know.
Yeah. I think.
But anyway, it's an example of celebrity nudes helping all of us.
It's typically how it happens, right? You have people of high status being affected by lack of security, and that's what drives better security. People of high status make some noise, and Apple goes, says, okay, we'll make sure the fappening can't happen again. And we've talked about it, that is a good point. It is opt-in, because I remember when they launched it, we talked about it on the show, and I was unaware of it, and I had to go opt-in. So make sure you go into your iCloud settings on your phone or your laptop and enable it.
That's also what led to lockdown mode, I'm pretty sure, was protecting celebrity phones. And our buddy JSR, who we've talked about in the past, that works for Citizen Lab, they discover a lot of Apple zero days and stuff, did a lot of work with them on implementing lockdown mode. And lockdown mode does not get enough credit either. Like, short of using Graphene, a de-Googled Android phone, lockdown mode on an Apple iPhone gives you a lot of security and privacy guarantees in a very user-friendly way.
Do you think this is a times are darkest before the dawn moment for Europe?
What, like a peak clown world?
Maybe not peak clown world.
I think it's going to get worse. I think it gets worse before it gets better. But I will say, I just gave a lot of credit to Apple. The fact that we have Apple fighting this fight is very big, because they have so many resources. But the other group that I'm incredibly impressed with is Meredith Whitaker of Signal. And she's on top of this shit. And we couldn't have a better spokesperson. Like, I've yet to been made aware of someone who can speak in a stronger way about the importance of digital privacy and freedom on the internet as she can. So I'm very grateful we have Signal there, and I'm very grateful that they chose Meredith as their new leadership after Moxie. Yeah. But it's going to get worse. I think it gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah, did you see the UK Prime Minister? I forget his name. It's like Cal Steimer or something like that. Not even worth knowing. But him and J.D. Vance, they're back and forth. J.D. Vance calling them out for not having free speech, building on the speeches he gave over in Europe at one of those events a couple of weeks ago. Isn't the guy, Kai Steimer, I think that's his name. He was saying, what are you talking about? We have free speech. And just like objectively lying. The point being, there's a lot of people over in Europe. I don't know if it's Stockholm Syndrome or a woke minority that's making a lot of noise. They were like proud of the Prime Minister for sticking up for the fact that the UK has free speech, which objectively it doesn't with their hate speech laws. You can't send memes. You can't voice displeasure with the influx of immigration that has overcome the United Kingdom over the last few decades without getting sent to jail. And there is something mentally, I think, with at least a subsect of the European population, UK population, that likes this stuff. Very welcoming posture towards the nanny state, which is weird.
I think Stockholm Syndrome is a good synopsis there. But I also think that the overwhelming majority of people actually don't believe in free speech. They actually believe in they believe in speech that they agree with, but not that they disagree with. And we're fortunate that in America we do have this solid foundation of free speech, regardless of popular opinion.
Yeah. And like you said, we have to hold our leadership here. We have to hold them in place too. That's what I was on Alex Thorne's podcast at Galaxy Brains. That was the one thing I think here in the United States we got on the topic of the sovereign wealth fund and the idea of the United States getting equity positions in big pharma companies or media platforms like TikTok. That's something in America we should begin pushing back against aggressively, because that creates perverse incentives. And to hold authority to account here, a lot of people have had their arms in the air over the USAID stuff, where the money's going, particularly to some media outlets to drive propaganda. And for those who are more conservative leaning and very supportive of the Trump administration, which I am definitely one of those people, hold them to account on things like TikTok, like buying 50% of TikTok and owning that is no different than funneling money via USAID to Reuters or something like that. You have state-owned media platforms or state-funded media platforms in a way. Maybe some minute nuanced details where there's a difference there, but overarchingly, I think it's very similar. Got to make sure there's some logical consistency here in the United States.
A lot of hypocrites.
Yeah. This was not cool to see. I saw this yesterday. Firefox deleting the promise to never sell
the best part data. Is their response. And then they asked users not to panic.
Right, because it's open source, so people are able to go to the GitHub and see the changes.
Yeah, it was like in their FAQ, they changed an FAQ answer that said, we will never sell your data ever. And they removed that line and rewrote it. And you could literally see in the change log that change. So not great, but also I think their argument might be correct anyway. Like that the response is effectively like it's lawyers doing lawyers things. Like we were too broad and we needed to clean it up.
There was an update to this story at 10:20 PM last night, in which Mozilla has since announced a change to the license language to address user complaints and now says you give Mozilla the rights necessary to operate Firefox. This includes processing your data as we describe in the Firefox privacy notice. It also includes a non-exclusive royalty-free worldwide license for the purpose of doing as you request with the content you input in Firefox. This does not give Mozilla any ownership in that content. So that's how they're... And I wouldn't be surprised if it was legalese or on the side of caution from legal teams. We see that all the times with terms of service for companies that we're involved with. Not lawyers.
Thanks, Logan. That's why we keep you around. You're a true professional. Yeah.
But
yeah, it's just something to be aware of. My the browser driver. Landscape in general is fucking garbage. That was a fascinating part about the Microsoft acquired episode, was just how they killed Netscape, and then got to like 100% Internet Explorer dominance, and then like lost it all to Chrome.
Yeah, and they dove into,
and it was like before Safari existed. Like they signed a, when they saved Apple, they signed a deal to put Internet Explorer for 5 years on Apple. Like we were kind of young at that point. I remember it, but not obviously it didn't live it.
Even before it got to that point, I'm pretty sure they covered this in the acquired episode too. They basically stole a bunch of IP from Xerox
as well. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's like relatively common knowledge.
Yeah.
Like the GUI and the mouse and like modern computing UX was all developed by Xerox originally.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any great options on the browser side. Just don't use a lot of extensions, whether you use Firefox or Chrome, or even if you use Safari. Safari doesn't really have many extensions. Try and keep your extensions to a minimum. And definitely don't do the thing where you like sign into Chrome or sign into Firefox or whatever. And I actually don't really believe in like the more obscure browsers. There's like a couple that are like upstarts or whatever, but yeah, browsers are an issue. I don't pretend to have the answer. Yeah. Like Weirdo is saying Arc looks interesting, but it's a closed source browser. At least with Firefox, it's open. And I think Brave is based on Chromium. Brave, I believe, is open source. So it's got that going for it. Just don't use the shitcoin.
I was going to say, are you a bat holder?
No.
Brave attention token?
Yeah, and there's a bunch of Firefox forks, or like almost skins. Oh yeah, Mulvad browser is intriguing to me. It's basically Tor browser, which is also built off of Firefox, but just doesn't include Tor. I don't know. There's no perfect answers.
Run a VPN and don't use the sign-in function to associate your data with that username. All right, up next, we got the Human Rights Foundation story of the week, not coming from a country, but coming from a company, Google, which is facilitating censorship in Russia and China. Google is actively assisting authoritarian regimes in China and Russia to censor dissent, removing online content critical of the Kremlin and Chinese Communist Party in Russia. Google complied with government requests to erase YouTube videos opposing the war in Ukraine, while in China, it removed references to the Tiananmen Square massacre and pro-democracy activism, with more than 70% of Russians relying on YouTube for news and China's Great Firewall blocking independent sources. Corporate compliance with state censorship enables state propaganda to proliferate as a dominant narrative for activists and nonprofits seeking uncensorable communications. Nostr, an open source and decentralized protocol, offers a way to share information beyond the reach of authoritarian regimes. Activists and NGOs can get started here. There's no link, but just try primal.net or any other iris.2, Coracle. Amethyst, Damas. Go check them all out. But also be aware. Follow JSR when you get on Nostr to figure out how to use it in a way that is somewhat private. You should probably spin it up with a pseudonym.
Trade-offs everywhere.
Yeah. Boom. Onto the software updates of the week. A lot of good software updates this week. Sparrow Wallet version 2.1.3 has been released with one key support, expanded labels, export, Lark fixes, Tollgate, Cashew, enabled Wi-Fi has been released. This is pretty cool.
On the Sparrow thing, you can now export labels with QR codes by scanning with QR codes, which I think is cool. If you want to bring labels over to a mobile wallet, for instance. That same export upgrade also basically gives you almost full accounting features if you want to like export transaction data for accounting purposes. So it was a really big improvement that Craig basically put together in maybe less than 2 weeks, I think. I was in the group chat where someone basically asked for it and Craig just fucking shipped the thing. So shout out, Craig. But yeah, onto Tollgate. Tollgate's cool. Have you seen this?
Yeah. It's finally... there was a discussion on the panel I was on Thursday at this conference. This was one of the questions. Is there any designs or innovation happening in shitcoin land that appease people that can be built on Bitcoin? And I think this is an example. This is essentially Helium. I don't know if anybody remembers the Helium token from last cycle that funds like Multicoin were pumping pretty hard. The idea simply was that if you're a cafe or somebody that had a portal to Wi-Fi that they were offering their customers, you could open up access to that and somehow Helium token was connected to it. People could pay with Helium token. You could acquire Helium token for participating in the network. And the idea was that you just create a utility token for internet access at cafes. You don't need that. You don't need a whole new token and blockchain to enable that. You simply need to combine open access to a Wi-Fi portal with something like Bitcoin. And this is exactly what Tollgate is. They're leveraging many different networks on the set, on the stack.
The big thing is Cashew. So basically, you can run this locally and you can charge people Bitcoin to use your Wi-Fi. And it uses Cashew, it uses Chamini Cash to make it all possible. Pretty fucking cool. And what's the website? Tollgate.me if you want to check it out.
Tollgate.me. They have a whole...
This has been something that people have for over a decade. You know, people have been saying like this was going to be what happens next, is that you could be anywhere in the world and just pay for internet with Bitcoin. I will say that it's a twofold issue, right? It's like first you need the open stack that makes it possible. But second of all, like there is like so many awesome things. There's regulatory concerns with running this type of shit, which is basically like, if someone uses your internet to do bad things, then you could get blamed for it.
That seems pretty weak though. Like it's same like money. That's like money laundering as a definition.
Yeah. Well, people still go to jail for both of those things.
Yeah, but agreed. But this is somebody's doing bad stuff over T-Mobile or AT&T using 5G cellular data.
Yeah, but they KYC you.
Interesting. All right, so this, I mean, it seems cool too, because they have their own router, they have their own operating system, all that stuff.
The comparison would be something like Tor exit nodes. Tor exit nodes are the nodes that you connect to ClearNet through. So like if you want to go to a non-Tor website and you're using Tor, you go out through the exit nodes. There are way less Tor exit nodes than there are Tor relay nodes, which are the nodes that are internal to the network. And the main reason is liability, is because no one wants a complete stranger to connect to their internet and potentially do bad things.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right. Right. Like, obviously I think that's logically flawed and incredible government overreach, but the chilling effect still exists out there.
Yeah. And while we're honing in on this edge case, I think we should focus on the positive, which being able to run a cafe, run a hotel, yeah, whatever it may be, and get some supplemental revenue by opening up access to your Wi-Fi and collecting sats for that service.
Yeah, I mean, a cafe that's offering an open Wi-Fi is already taking on that liability, right? So they might as well get paid for it. Oh. Like if you're like in the middle, and to Americans, this isn't as common, but in a lot of places in the world that have worse cell connection, that there's not good data everywhere, or data costs a lot, it's like people will just go from like cafe to cafe and like that's their internet experience. And most of those cafes offer it for free as like a value add to get you in the door. It's like offering air conditioning. Now they can charge for it and they don't have to charge prohibitively expensive prices, right? Because they don't have to pay credit card fees. They don't have to deal with all that friction of the traditional financial system. So they can charge much more reasonable prices too.
Yeah, maybe cover their Wi-Fi bill for the month, maybe make a little money on it. But for a small business, that goes a long way. Shout out to the Tollgate team. It's really cool. Love to see it. Another really cool thing. One of our sponsors, BitKey, launched their inheritance protocol. We talked about this a couple of months ago. They were teasing it, but now it is officially live in the app.
Yeah, I mean, so I think this setup is awesome and will be very helpful to a lot of people. I've had a lot of friends and family that have asked about this type of thing. And Marty, by the way, before I forget, we should do shout outs after this.
Okay.
The way they have it set up is relatively straightforward. So you have the person that you want to inherit your Bitcoin. Let's just say it's your son. You want your son to inherit Bitcoin. Your son installs the BitKey app. The user who is setting up the inheritance goes into the settings. They say set up inheritance. They add the son to the inheritance plan. At that point, what happens is you have a shared key. You take your mobile key. Your mobile key is then encrypted with a shared key. That shared key is then encrypted to your son's key. So only your son can access that shared key, but only after the other secret is revealed. And so basically what happens is, let's say, God forbid you die, your son initiates the inheritance protocol. For 6 months, they effectively are just trying to notify you that the inheritance is happening. So if you aren't dead and your son's just trying to steal your Bitcoin, you can be like, no, cancel the shit. I'm not doing this. But if after those 6 months, you are actually dead and you don't respond, at that point, BitKey will sign with the son using the BitKey server key. So then you have the two keys and then they get the money. So obviously there's trust involved. You have to, BitKey servers need to be online. Square needs, you know, Block has to still be in business. There are obviously many privacy concerns in terms of using BitKey. But at the end of the day, it is self-custody and it's incredibly easy to use. And a lot of people that would be using this type of thing would probably be using a custodial solution instead of this setup. I think it's a pretty practical trade-off balance. And to the one complaint that I have heard multiple times is like, oh, well, like what happens if like my dad dies and like the BitKey server isn't, then like BitKey's out of business. It's like, I guess there's a non-zero chance that like Block is out of business and your dad dies at the same time. But if Block goes out of business before your dad dies, you can switch your setup. You can have a different setup. It's probably a very small edge case of that situation.
And I imagine if they did go out of business, there would have to be some sort of contingency with the server where it's like, hey, we're going out of business, but over the next 6 to 12 months, we're going to begin migrating keys off the server or whatever, or help you migrate your Bitcoin off of BitKey if we go bust. Again, non-zero chance.
Well, no, it's so like if your dad isn't dead, they have something called a break glass process where if BitKey goes out of business, your dad can still get the funds off. Like I've tested that process. It works pretty well. Like you have this recovery kit and then you basically scan the QR code with the APK. You download the APK, mm-hmm. you install it on an Android phone, you scan the QR code, and then you tap your BitKey and you can send. And so that doesn't require the server key. It doesn't require, BitKey can be completely out of business and that works. Now there is an edge case where like BitKey goes out of business like 2 months after your dad dies and then
you don't get your protocol. Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there would be contingency still in that scenario as well.
Yeah. Like I doubt BitKey's just going to like, for yeah. I mean, the chances that Block goes out of business anyway are close to none. But if they did, there's a lot of stand-up people there that I think would would step in and make sure that people could gracefully get their funds.
Yeah.
All this said, if what you care most about is sovereignty, freedom, privacy, then BitKey is not for you. You should use something like the Colt card. But if you are a new user, if you're not technically proficient, if you feel overwhelmed about a lot of these things, and you're currently keeping your money with a custodian, a trusted third party, BitKey is a fantastic trade-off model. I think it's incredibly easy to use. Anyone who's actually used it is blown away by the simplicity of the UX. And I think it will bring a lot of people into self-custody Bitcoin that probably would not have done it otherwise. And as they continue to add these different features to it, I think it makes it even more compelling of a product. And inheritance is not an easy problem to mitigate in a secure way, as someone who's thought a lot about it.
Yeah. Shout out to BitKey. They ship too. They teased this project two months ago. It's already out to users. Go check it out. We'll take a break in the software updates.
Soap Miner zapped us 21,000 sats in the live chat. Soap Miner, right now, the overwhelming majority of the sinks in my household have a bar of your soap next to the sink. So thank you for a fantastic product.
I still need to get my hands on your soap. I'll get on that. I'll get on that. On to the boost. Over 21,000 sats from Rapid Hole Recap 345. 5 million sats for every American. It's coming your way. It's more now. Get like 5.2 million sats. They do this. Top boost, Pringle Max.
It's true.
33,333 sats. Threes across the board. Palindrome boost. No heroes, just principles. Marty Bent. Stay humble. Stack sats. Matt Odell. So I don't know if you do this intentionally, but you always spell Matt's last name wrong. There's no second E. Gratitude and generosity are a gift. Use them daily and life will be kind to you. Love, Sil. Love you, Sil.
Cheers. Appreciate you.
At Eric99, 21,000 sats. Stay humble. Stack sats. Those were the two boosts above 21,000 sats from last week's episode. Shout out to you guys.
Appreciate your support. I see someone in the comments saying the UK version of BitKey's inheritance page says new rules of the UK make some parts of the BitKey site unavailable in your region. We are working to make these pages available again. Thanks for understanding. If you think that's bad, BitKey isn't for sale in New York because of the Bit license.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you like where on the trust model BitKey sits, and why it's incredibly important that we have more sovereign options available to people. So there you go.
New York, New York, New York, New York. This is cool to see. It's been teased for quite some time. It has finally hit the market. Brains has released their own ASIC. Got delivered. Of our boy Christian from Brains, non-Chinese. They're going to be open sourcing everything here. I think they just got their first delivery of the hardware. So I think it may be some time before people can get their hands on it, but they're working on it. It's cool to see. I know they've been working on this for quite some time.
Is this competitive? I mean, first of all, this is huge. So shout out to them. Massive congrats. There's incredible centralization in the mining chip space. It's good to see people trying to push out independent product.
Is it competitive?
Like WaltzMiner and Bitmain.
As we say, anytime a new miner launches, we won't know until they're plugged in and people are running them. But I know they have a crack team there with Pavel and what is his name? Jan. They're pretty crack devs, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's competitive.
I mean, for the first gen product, I think it's a win if it's even close to being competitive. Still a massive win, even if it's not as efficient as the leading chips from Bitmain and WaltzMiner. Hopefully they'll figure it out over time. I wonder if this was, so this is still produced by TSMC though, right?
I believe so.
Could be wrong. I just sound like such a shill. I discovered one of the top podcasts in the world, but the TSMC episode of Acquired is fucking fascinating. I listened to 30 hours of Acquired over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not in the details or not in this. Not in this post by Christian. But I gotta outboost you.
Paulie's saying not TSMC.
I think it may be some Samsung or some other, if I recall correctly.
Does Samsung, Bitmain is TSMC, right? Isn't one of them using Samsung?
WaltzMiner.
WaltzMiner uses Samsung.
Yeah, out of South Korea. That's where they get their chips made. All right, next on the list, really cool project. Cool to see Cove iOS beta has been released.
So this is really cool. This is the project I've actually been teasing for a while on the show, because I've been helping them out with beta feedback, or alpha feedback, I guess. Their team, they're OpenSats grant recipients, and I think it's going to quickly become one of the bigger OpenSats success stories from an actual practical user perspective, right? Because a lot of the work that OpenSats funds is in the background. You don't see it as much. But the goal here with Cove is a multi-platform wallet, so Android and iOS, that's just really straightforward and powerful and easy to use on-chain wallet, whether you're using with hardware wallets or hot wallets. Kind of think like Sparrow wallet, but for mobile. Just really good UX, but also really powerful. There's been a lot of focus on making it work really well with wallets, like hardware wallets that use the PSBT standard, whether that's QR code or SD card or other ways of transferring that information, NFC. So I think it's really promising. I think, we have a lot of great mobile wallets out there, but on the, just like the simple on-chain side, there's been a lot lacking there. So the Cove team has been doing really great work, and they're very excited to have the public beta out on iOS. So that's on Testflight right now. Test it out. Don't use it with large amounts of money. Disclaimer. Use at your own risk. But if you are using it with a hardware wallet, there's not as much risk there as if you're using the hot wallet features. But I think it's incredibly promising, and I could easily see it becoming, for instance, one of the go-to ways of using name your hardware wallet and a mobile wallet. So you just install Cove, pair it with your hardware wallet of choice, your hardware signer of choice, whether that's cold card or whatever, and just easily be ready to go. And they even already have duress pins and stuff like that. So, obviously there's a privacy risk if someone gets access to your phone and sees your balance. So it's good to have duress pin in there.
Yeah, I think for cold card, MK4, Q with NFC enabled, It's going to make it very easy, or QR for that matter.
Yeah, QR or NFC. I've never had a seamless experience with NFC signing, and this could be it.
I just tried to test it out with TapSigner because I haven't had access to a wallet since I downloaded it yesterday. But shout out to Cove. I know Praveen's been working hard behind the scenes.
Yeah, give it a proper run through, not just you, Marty, but everyone. And feedback is incredibly appreciated. Their team works really hard, but they can't think of everything. And so testing is important.
Test it out. On that note, another mobile wallet trying to solve this problem. Nunchuck launches new and improved group wallet.
Yeah, so I think this is massive, but this is like another. So I think Nunchuck's trying to solve something different than Cove, right? And Nunchuck has been, and Hugo specifically, who leads Nunchuck, has been laser focused on this idea of very easy multi-sig, collaborative multi-sig. So not multi-sig that's just yourself, like not your savings multi-sig, but things like organizational multi-sig or family multi-sig, where you have multiple people that are all needing to sign and communicate with each other and have built-in chat. For a while, he had matrix dependency, which made it much more difficult. You had to create other keys. So this is a fully new setup that he has released. He's calling it new and improved group wallet, but it does not use Matrix as the chat backend. It's an end-to-end encrypted wallet and chat with a single file that recovers everything. And so like, what can you think about in practice? Think about in practice. So, you know, I don't think multisig is for everybody. I think for a lot of people, it's probably better to actually keep it simple and just do single sig, maybe add a passphrase to it, maybe use seed XOR to split up your seed between two places, keep redundant backups, you know, maybe even have a second hardware wallet that is completely a clone of the previous hardware wallet so that you have two copies of hardware and you have two copies of seed. Keep it very simple. Most people, how do they lose Bitcoin? Not theft. They lose it by making mistakes. So simple is good. The caveat there is if you're a public, someone that's publicly into Bitcoin, your threat model is a lot different. Someone like me or Marty might choose multisig in order to make our setup more robust, particularly against aggression, theft, $5 wrench attacks, stuff like that. Well, $25 wrench attacks or however much a wrench costs nowadays. Guns are also incredibly important in that situation. But the number one use of multisig, in my opinion, is for organizations. And maybe you can even adapt that to families as well. And with organizations, you can imagine a situation where a CEO has a key, a CTO has a key, and maybe three other trusted individuals in the company have a key. And in that situation, I just laid out a three of five multisig, right? So that you need three people to sign that. And so what's the beauty here? The beauty here is that no single individual can spend the organization's money or the family's money. You need a majority of them to do it. Now, the negative is the communication process. So how do you actually pass the PSBT between each other to sign it? And how do you notify each other? And that becomes a high friction point. Organizations like OpenSats, for instance, like we'll just use like signal messaging to send the PSBT data around each other. But the holy grail is like your phone vibrates and you get a notification and it's like Marty wants to send this much money to this address and his reason is this, right? He's like, oh, I got to pay off the company credit card bill and I'm sending Visa this much Bitcoin to this address. Do you approve? And then you can verify it yourself. You can press approve. Then it goes to the next person. They press approve. And then the thing gets broadcast out. And it can be super seamless and super low friction. And that's the problem that Nunchuck is trying to solve, which is cool.
Yeah. And you touched on something very important there, which pertains to a topic that we haven't covered but happened after last week's episode, which was the Bybit hack of Ethereum by the Lazarus Group. And that is why it is extremely important that you're able to verify things on the actual hardware device. They slipped up because of the wallet they were using, I believe the Safe Wallet, smart contracts have a lot of data on them. It's almost impossible to read on a ledger. And so they were using a browser UI, I believe, to pass around the message of the signing of the multi-sig smart contract on Ethereum. And that's where they got attacked, was in that UI level.
I mean, there was multiple issues there, but the whole thing, the whole UI was hosted on Gnosis's servers or whatever, and Gnosis's servers was hacked, so the UI was changed too. But yeah, like basically when Ledger would pop up, when their tiny little Ledger screen would pop up, like verify this transaction, it was just like a bunch of gobbledygook and they would just blindly press okay on it.
Yeah.
So yeah. If we're going to bring it back to the nunchuck situation, right? Nunchuck would have to be compromised to show you the wrong stuff first. And then ideally you're using a hardware signer that has a screen on it and you're verifying on the screen the amount and the send. So that hardware device would have to be compromised. And that would happen to all three people if it's a 3 of 5, or two people if it's a 2 of 3, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. North Korea, they're very good at hacking for a country that doesn't have very much electricity on top of it. Is Lazarus Group a PSYOP? You think it's actually North Korea?
It's definitely North Korea. You think it's a PSYOP? What's the goal of the PSYOP?
I don't know if it's a PSYOP. It's just like, it just seems odd to me that they're very good at this hacking, considering the country has no infrastructure.
When there's a need, you figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure like the North Korean hackers are basically royalty in that country. I mean, because think about the number one thing you have, not the number one thing, but one of the top things you have to control your people in a country like North Korea is you limit the access to information, right? We saw the North Korean soldiers that they lent to Putin, like supposedly got addicted to Pornhub because they finally had access to the internet. So these hackers, right, presumably have, nobody has any control over what they see and what they do on the internet, because there's no way they'd be effective if they had, you know, some bureaucrat above them telling them what they could and couldn't do. So those people are probably effectively royalty over there. And also they're bringing in, you know, billions of dollars to their country.
Yeah. Be careful out there, freaks. Security, it's important. And it's a highlight. Yeah,
it's an ironic situation, right? Because it's like, I had some friends reach out because there was a lot of scare tactics out there. It's like, oh, like one of the largest exchanges had their multi-sig broken. Like, am I fucked? Like, am I going to get my money hacked? And it's kind of ironic that, but true, like if you have like a single sig cold card that you use with Sparrow, you had a more secure setup than Bybit's cold storage for Ethereum.
Well, it highlights the importance of making, or the importance of the design trade-offs that Bitcoin made.
Yeah.
Specifically compared to.
I will say, and nah, he's a brother. He's not going to get too angry at me. There, I'm talking about Rob Hamilton. There's concern here on my side about Miniscript in this regard, because it also gives you kind of a bunch of gobbledygook to approve.
What if you have a screen as big as the queue? Should not be that hard to go through it.
I think it's a solvable problem. But right now, as it stands, my understanding is it's just a bunch of gobbledygook that like a normal human can't really verify.
I think you can solve it with like, you need the hardware wallets to adopt this too, but.
But you're signing a Miniscript contract. You're not like, it's not a standard Bitcoin transaction.
But you can see the script in.
Yeah.
In the transaction, right?
Have you done it with Ledger or I mean, I don't know who else supports it right now. Coldcard has it in their Edge release
firmware.
If you try it with Ledger, it's like I've done it. I've done it not with AnchorWatch. I've done it with Liana. Mm-hmm. And it's straight gobbledygook. You have no idea what you're verifying.
I told Rob this, so I don't think he'll get offended either. But I've made it a point never to own a ledger, so I haven't owned a ledger yet. I don't think I'm going to start now, just for Miniscript. I'm going to wait for others to adopt it.
Yeah, they'll have cold card support soon, and then hopefully a bunch of other hardware signers.
Yeah,
I mean, their dream is to support as many as possible, at least on the AnchorWatch side. But yeah, to my point is though, is is Miniscript as it stands right now kind of has this issue, and it will be mitigated, but it hasn't been yet.
I'm trying to think of how, like, what is the extent of the damage that can be done by waging an attack?
I think Rob and his team and the Liana guys are way more qualified to mitigate this problem than us brainstorming on air. The damage could be an attacker having you send Bitcoin to them.
Yeah. Edge case. I don't want to FUD Liana, AnchorWatch, Trident, I mean, look, maybe.
Cautious conservative building is what it is. It's not, yeah. Both those teams are great. I think Miniscript's huge. With AnchorWatch specifically, by the way, like if there is a compromise, I believe that's covered under their insurance. So Lloyds will actually pay you out. But life's too short to just like hold in critiques, you know, all the time.
You got to think adversarially.
Say it out loud.
Yeah.
We should be, Bitcoiners should be the best Bitcoin critics. We should all hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Did you hear Bitcoin culture is dead though? It needs to be raised to the ground.
That person is irrelevant. I did hear about that tweet. I think it's probably just the human experience, right? But it's especially on social media, and when you have a quote unquote industry as small as Bitcoin is, you kind of end up in a situation where everything is mean girls, and it's like high school drama bullshit, and mm-hmm. you're just not supposed to ever say anything negative about anyone else.
Yeah.
I think that's probably just not productive. Like, it's important to realize that things have trade-offs, and people should speak clearly.
Completely agree. Bigger screens solve this problem, I think.
Bigger screens, we solved it. Boom, done.
I think
that's, I don't know. Maybe we'll have we'll have Rob call in next week. He can call in and join us for 10 minutes and talk about how he's thinking about this problem. How about that?
Rob,
but we're going to time him, and we'll limit him to 10 minutes. Otherwise, he's just going to go on and on and on.
Oh, he can go on. He can go on. Yeah. I experienced that firsthand this week.
Yeah, we'll set a timer. He's got 10 minutes to explain how he's thinking about the
I was fully concern. Engaged, Rob, just so you know. Fully engaged. Loved the fact that you went on and on, but just props to you. You can go on. This is fun. Saturday rip. This is the first Saturday rip in a while. I think we've done one since my second son was born.
Really? We've probably done one live.
Logan's maybe not.
You did a Saturday rip, then you were yelling at me for not being there. And then I showed up in the chat.
No, that wasn't Saturday.
Was that not
Saturday? What, in Costa Rica?
No, that was when I was home for Christmas.
No, we did one in Costa Rica.
It was Costa Rica. Was that Saturday?
That's why I wasn't there.
Oh, was Saturday. So we had a Saturday rip like two months ago.
That's when we replaced Logan with an H-1B.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
What else is in markets turning right now? Is Bitcoin being the alarm system for a blow up?
It definitely feels like markets in general are a bit twitchy right now. A lot of uncertainty out there.
Yeah. Honeymoon period is over.
I mean, I think like NVIDIA was down 20% after earnings. Block was down 20% after earnings. There's, you know, a lot of jittery is the word. Twitchy, jittery. People are, I don't know. Should be interesting. Are they going to print? Do we just have like another couple of years of all-time highs across all asset classes? Or do we enter a depression? Probably the dot plot of possibilities right now is as broad as it's been in a while. Like I could see us going down a lot of different paths. But I'm just going to stay humble and stack sats. That's about it.
I was just about to say, that's why it's important to take the advice of the title of this episode to heart. Not try and time it. I want to give a shout out to Skylar at Finite Supply. That's where I got this Silk Road hat from. Go pick it up.
It's a dope hat.
I believe the website, if you want to get this hat, is finitesupply.xyz, finitesupply.co. Might be .co. XYZ may be the design studio. Co. Maybe the store.
Let's see. No, it's .xyz.
.xyz.
Is it just the USA hat? Only the USA hat's there. You're right. It's .co.
.co.
He has the USA hat on .xyz, but none of the other hats.
Yeah, Logan, link to that in the show notes. I see you have it up right now.
Dude, Skylar, you have some of the best hats in the game. I love that Nakamoto Finney hat. Obviously, the USA Bitcoin hat that I've been repping is fucking dope. But damn, charge a premium, man.
It's worth it. I was telling him this. I didn't think about it.
Did you pay for yours?
Yeah, I paid for this.
I didn't pay for my USA Bitcoin hat. Just hand
That was free marketing. Like he knew you were going on the stage. Like,
yeah. Put it on. Yeah. I mean, it's good to support him and his work. He's awesome. Always quality goods.
High quality. It's iced coffee season here in Austin, Texas already. It was abruptly the weather changed this week. It was like 32 degrees this time last week. Now it's 81 degrees. Ran around the lake with the boys and my wife today, and our youngest did not want to stay in the stroller, so I ran 4.5 miles around the lake with my youngest trying to help him avoid getting run over by a bike. A lot of starts and stops. And
I mean, he has legs. Right now.
He has legs. He doesn't stop. But it was completely necessary. I had to tire him out so he would go down for his nap right away, a little early.
It's a strategy. We have Marks in the live chat saying that Open Secret is launching new branding next week. By the way, great rip. I listened to that episode you did with Tony and Marks. Really great rip. Love what they're building over there. But they're launching new branding that was designed by Skylar of Finite Supply. And I will second what he's saying in the chat, which is that Skylar does, you know, some of the best design work in the space. And if your company is looking for design work, definitely hit him up.
Check him out. May have some more news on that front at some point soon for you freaks.
Are you teasing an announcement?
An announcement of a potential announcement.
Something. What, is TFTC going to change their branding?
No, we're not changing our branding. We're doing.
Is the horse gone?
I love his hat so much. We're doing a hat collab announcement. So be on the lookout for that. Yeah,
got him. The iron trap that is Marty, we loosened it.
we should do a rabbit hole recap hat too. The freaks want the merch. Just running a merch store sucks.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Especially since like his stuff is like actually Like he prints it himself and stuff. So you have to distribute it yourself. Like it's one thing if you use a drop shipper. But yeah.
We'll talk about it off air. He's got a setup for our scale, I think.
Let's do an RHR hat. We'll do an RHR hat with Skylar. Announcement.
Announcement.
Surprise.
Skylar, if you're listening. Yeah, he was teasing one of his hats in Costa Rica. And I was like, oh, wow. I would wear that all day, every day.
Yeah, beach. Some of his hats are going to... I know about a bunch of the upcoming ones. Pretty excited about it. Okay, shall we wrap and go back to our families on this glorious weekend?
We should. Let's enjoy it.
Love you, freaks. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.